Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC will continue to bring developments from the Boston manhunt as they come in. Nothing new to report in the last few minutes. We're keeping a very close eye on it, but we will have a somewhat related conversation right now with Jordan Fabian, politics editor for Fusion. That's a Univision ABC News joint venture, and he was scheduled anyway to talk about the immigration reform debate in Washington today. But these developments this morning in the Boston case do have some immigration overtones, potentially. Jordan, thanks very much for coming on WNYC today. Hello from New York.
Hi, from D.C. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
So you did write a piece already this week called "Will the Boston Bombing Derail Immigration Reform?" Will it?
Right now, it doesn't seem that way. I don't see a real, overtone that this is really going to overtake the debate at this point, but there has been some rumblings. You saw Representative Steve King from Iowa, who's been, against immigration reform for quite a long time, cite the attacks as a reason why he would further oppose it, I guess. And I'm right now outside the Senate Judiciary Committee room. And Senator Chuck Grassley, the ranking member on that committee, just said that it's especially good to consider our immigration laws in light of what happened in Boston. So some of the opponents seem to be linking the Boston attacks to the immigration debate right now, but it's not clear whether that's going to sort of mushroom into something that's going to really drown out the debate over the other issues regarding immigration.
And the fact that the suspects in the case appear to be of Chechen nationality originally before they immigrated to the United States could wind up being linked to jihadi terrorism because there is a fair amount of Islamicism in the region that they come from. And this, of course, is unknown, and we don't want to say that anybody was associated with any kind of movement that is not known. But when you start to look at pieces of evidence, it just forces you to raise questions. If it turns out to be that kind of link, do you think it affects the immigration debate?
It could be, but it's also, I think, important to sort of look at their immigration status and how they came to this country. I'm not exactly sure, what the pathway was, and I don't think anyone is, but what it appears is that they've been in the United States for 10 years, they have legal permanent residency, a green card, and they had some kind of, maybe some kind of asylum status. We're not sure at this point yet, but these aren't people, say, such as the 9/11 hijackers who came to the United States on student visas and overstayed them, a year before the attack. These people were essentially living in America. They may not say they felt like Americans, but they were, in all for intents and purposes, Americans. They were going to high school here. They were participating in sports. So this really could have been anyone. It could have been an American just as well as an immigrant. We heard about American citizens being radicalized overseas. So I think it's important to look at sort of the circumstances in which they came here when we're bringing the immigration issue into the debate.
Now, of course, this was supposed to be the week when the so-called Gang of Eight in the Senate began really moving their bipartisan immigration bill through. Is that happening anyway, even while the media is so distracted by Boston?
Yeah, it is happening, Brian. Yesterday, they held a press conference, which was postponed from earlier this week, to roll it out. They had about 21 people from business and labor groups, religious groups, conservative groups, left and right. And what they're trying to say is that the coalition behind immigration reform is much stronger than it was in the past. The past effort in 2007, which failed in the over objections from conservative groups and labor unions. So the message is that, we have a much broader coalition this time around, and the impetus is there to pass it. We'll have to wait and see. The opponents of the bill are starting to mobilize. They had a press conference yesterday at the same time that the Gang of Eight did. So this is going to be a tough fight. Getting a major piece of legislation like this through both houses of Congress is always difficult, no matter what the political calculus is behind it.
Who do you see as the main opponents of the bill?
Right now, we've seen Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama. He's on the Judiciary Committee. Has long, long been an opponent of comprehensive immigration reform that legalizes the undocumented. He's been very outspoken recently. Steve King, who I mentioned earlier in the House, is going to be a major opponent. And Senator David Vitter, another player from the 07 debate who helped think the bill on the right seems to be emerging as another major opponent.
There are things not to like for immigration advocates as well. I heard, for example, Marco Rubio on one of the Sunday talk shows last week, we played the clip, that it will be tougher to get citizenship under the new plan for people here illegally than under the current system. Do you see it that way?
It may be possible. It really depends on your immigration circumstances. It might be easier for certain immigrants to return to their home country and then come back, considering that you would have to wait 10 years in your own country anyway to come back, under this bill, you would wait 10 years in the United States. Maybe the process would be quicker going back for some people. But overall, I think that it would be easier staying in the United States. You wouldn't have to leave and leave behind your family. I think some of the things that immigrants advocates have been worried about is this so-called trigger mechanism that would only start the process for legalization once these border security measures are in place, and the fact that there's a cutoff date of December 31st, 2011. Any immigrants who arrive in the country unauthorized after that point in time are not eligible under this program to receive any kind of legalization.
And if people were here before that but illegally, they will in the vast majority of cases be allowed to stay and to legally get a job, even if citizenship is a distant dream. And I guess that's what most people really care about, isn't it? Being able to stay in a legal status, being able to work legally on the books, as opposed to citizenship. I wonder how much you think citizenship is a concern in that equation.
Yeah, no, I think that's a valid point. If you're in that circumstance, you look at it and you say, it's going to take me 13 years to get citizenship. I have to keep paying these fines and going through these background checks. Maybe it's just fine for me to, stay in this legal status, work in the United States, and that's that. But for others, obviously, they're going to want to go on and earn their full citizenship to get permanent status and be able to vote in elections. I think that's also an important thing for a lot of these folks. If you look at the Dreamers, for example, of young undocumented immigrants who have sort of advocated for legalization, they've been extremely politically active. So I think that those people in particular would want to get full citizenship and participate in the political life here in the United States.
And speaking of full citizenship, what about the guest worker provisions? Is that of concern to immigration advocates because it creates a kind of second-class citizen or even second-class visa holder if they're here as guest workers without other rights of Americans?
I think that was a concern in 2007 when they put the guest worker program in, but the temporary worker program in this bill is a little different. It actually allows most people who come here on a sort of a low-skilled worker visa, what's being called a W visa, to eventually get permanent legal residency and then citizenship. So this was a compromise that was hammered out over a course of weeks between business groups and labor groups. It's actually the longest portion of the bill because there's so many stipulations that each side wanted included. So I think if you're talking to advocates, that's something that they're going to be happier with compared to 2007. Is it a perfect plan? No, but I think it is an improvement from the advocacy perspective than 6 years ago.
One other political question before we run out of time. Do you see any potential ramifications for the immigration bill from the failure of the gun control bills, like maybe that some Republicans felt they couldn't go off the reservation on both those measures and they were saving it for immigration?
You sort of do get that sense from some people. I'm thinking of, Marco Rubio and Lindsey Graham, two members of the Gang of Eight, who have showed willingness to, try to broker a deal with the other side when it comes to immigration. But on guns, they were very against all the amendments that were presented. I know some folks were trying to get Lindsey Graham to vote for this background check bill, but he ended up holding out. And, he's facing re-election in 2014, and maybe his calculation is that he can only, stray from the party orthodoxy on so many issues.
When's there going to be a vote? Any idea?
Well, there's no idea for me, but what Senator Schumer is saying, the lead Democrat on this Gang of Eight, is that he wants a bill by June, and Harry Reid has said the same thing. So, I guess if all goes according to plan, then we could see it on the Senate floor by June and then off the Senate to the House.
And way before that, we'll see the hearings that have begun actually break into the news when people stop obsessing on the manhunt in Boston. Jordan Fabian, politics editor for Fusion, a Univision ABC joint venture. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.